Today is the 12th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Welcome back around the global campfire here for another day. And here we are, stepping into a brand new week. It's all new. It's all shiny. Look at that. Look out there on the horizon. We just stand here together and look out over it. It's like uncharted territory for us. We've never been there. And we got to go there because we can only go forward. That is how it works. We can't stay here and we can't go back. We got to move into this week. And so, first of all, we recognize that God has given us new mercies and a fresh start. Second of all, we have to be intentional about the way that we're going to walk into this week. Because we have a lot of power. In fact, we have enormous amount of power. This week can be like a complete destruction of the world as we know it, in our relationships and in every other way. Or it can be a week of intentionality and repair, and we can leave this week in a better way than we left last week. We can continue to grow. And so let's make our intentions to seek wisdom at every crossroads. And part of the way we do that is showing up here every day. Showing up for ourselves, showing up for each other, taking the next step forward. So, brand new week. We'll read from the New International Version this week. Of course, we'll pick up where we left off. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 19 through 14. Verse 17 today. Some of the tribe of Manasseh defected to David when he went with the Philistines to fight against Saul. He and his men did not help the Philistines because after consultation, their rulers sent him away. They said, "It will cost us our heads if he deserts to his master Saul." When David went to Ziklag, these were the men of Manasseh who defected to him: Adnah, Jozabad, Jediel, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, and Zilatai, leaders of units of 1,000 in Manasseh. They helped David against raiding bands, for all of them were brave warriors, and they were commanders in his army. Day after day, men came to help David, until he had a great army, like the army of God. These are the numbers of the men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him, as the Lord had said. From Judah, carrying shield and spear, 6,800 armed for battle. From Simeon, warriors ready for battle, 7,100. From Levi, 4,600, including Josiah, leader of the family of Aaron, with 3,700 men, and Zadok, a brave young warrior with 22 officers from his family. From Benjamin, Saul's tribe, 3,000, most of whom had remained loyal to Saul's house until then. From Ephraim, brave warriors, famous in their own clans, 20,800. From half the tribe of Manasseh, designated by name to come and make David king, 18,000. From Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. From Zebulun, experienced soldiers prepared for battle with every type of weapon to help David with undivided loyalty, 50,000. From Naphtali, 1,000 officers, together with 37,000 men carrying shields and spears. From Dan, ready for battle, 28,600. From Asher, experienced soldiers prepared for battle, 40,000. And from east of the Jordan, from Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, armed with every type of weapon, 120,000. All these were fighting men who volunteered to serve in the ranks. They came to Hebron fully determined to make David king over all Israel. All the rest of the Israelites were also of one mind to make David king. The men spent 3 days there with David, eating and drinking, for their families had supplied provisions for them. Also, their neighbors from as far away as Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali came bringing food on donkeys, camels, mules, and oxen. There were plentiful supplies of flour, fig cakes, raisin cakes, wine, olive oil, cattle, and sheep, for there was joy in Israel. David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. He then said to the whole assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our people throughout the territories of Israel, and also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their towns and pasture lands to come and join us. Let us bring the Ark of our God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul." The whole assembly agreed to do this because it seemed right to all the people. So David assembled all Israel from the Shihor River in Egypt to Lebo Hamath to bring the Ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. David and all Israel went to Baala of Judah, Kiriath Jearim, to bring up from there the Ark of God, the Lord, who is enthroned between the cherubim, the Ark that is called by the name. They moved the Ark of God from Abinadab's house on a new cart, with Uzzah and Ahio guiding it. David and all the Israelites were celebrating with all their might before God, with songs and with harps, lyres, timbrels, cymbals, and trumpets. When they came to the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark, because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he had put his hand on the ark. So he died there before God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of God that day and asked, "How can I ever bring the Ark of God to me?" He did not take the Ark to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The Ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed his household and everything he had. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David along with cedar logs, stonemasons, and carpenters to build a palace for him. And David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that his kingdom had been highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. In Jerusalem, David took more wives and became the father of more sons and daughters. These are the names of the children born to him there: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Elpilet, Noga, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Bealiada, and Eliphelet. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went out to meet them. Now the Philistines had come and raided the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of God, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" The Lord answered him, "Go, I will deliver them into your hands." So David and his men went up to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, "As waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand." So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines had abandoned their gods there, and David gave orders to burn them in the fire. Once more, the Philistines raided the valley, so David inquired of God again, and God answered him, "Do not go directly after them, but circle around them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move out to battle, because that will mean God has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army." So David did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. So David's fame spread throughout every land, and the Lord made all the nations fear him. Okay, so we are moving into some new territory in the New Testament today. And we're going to be kind of camping out in this genre. We're moving into some letters. So as we travel through the book of Acts, we got to know the Apostle Paul pretty well. His style, his passion, his devotion to Jesus. We journeyed by ship many nautical miles and by land many miles with him, and experienced what it looks like to to be kind of a lightning rod, to be at the leading edge of a struggle between light and darkness, and what that looks like, and the clash, basically, the conflict that presented everywhere he went. Today, we're turning the page, and we're beginning one of the most important books or letters in the New Testament, called Romans. And this is the first of many of Paul's letters that are recorded in the New Testament. But man, most scholars agree that Romans is Paul's most comprehensive work. And as we go through Romans, we'll see that much of our theological understanding of the gospel of Jesus finds its origins in this lengthy letter. So it's likely that Paul was in the city of Corinth when he wrote the letter to the Romans. And Corinth was a place where some of Paul's greatest missionary work had been accomplished. And so it was likely penned there. And when Paul finished Romans, he sent a deaconess named Phoebe from the church in Contrea, which really just a coastal suburb of Corinth, to hand deliver the letter and make an introduction for him. All these places, like Contrea, etc., can be seen in today's reading in the Daily Audio Bible app, so check that out. The church in Rome that Paul wrote to was not a church that Paul had planted, and we don't actually even know who brought the gospel of Jesus to Rome. Most likely somebody, or maybe a group of somebodies who were influenced by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, carried the gospel back to Rome, and a church was established there. So Paul, who was a naturally born Roman citizen, as we learn from the book of Acts, he looked forward to visiting Rome. But he had other things that he had to do before he could go there. And in obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading, Paul first journeyed back to Jerusalem, where his plans took what would seem to have been an unfortunate turn, because he was arrested and then kept in captivity, actually pretty well for the rest of his life, but for several years. Eventually, Paul did make his way to Rome, which we read about as we concluded the book of Acts. But as we learned at the close of the book of Acts, he went as a prisoner. So, aside from simply adhering to the teachings of Jesus, Paul was imprisoned largely because he taught that the gospel was open and inclusive. It was available to the Jews and the Gentiles alike. That God welcomed all who believed in Jesus into his family. And this was a massive, like it's hard to even get our minds around, massive reframing of perceptions and traditions for devout Jews. And was one of the reasons Paul was always amid regular riots. So in Romans, Paul explained how he arrived at this truth. And he wrote after the fashion that devout Jews could understand. And he beautifully connects Jesus to a story that had been taking place among the Jews since Abraham, since the book of Genesis. So in this letter, Paul explains the Mosaic Law and its purpose, while revealing that nobody had ever been able to obey it perfectly. No one could become perfect before God on their own. But that Jesus fulfilled the law. And through him, we can all be made righteous before God. So let's buckle up and enjoy one of the greatest theological and doctrinal works that we have in all of the Christian faith as we begin Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Psalm 9, 13 through 20. Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare your praises in the gates of daughter Zion, and there rejoice in your salvation. The nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his acts of justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. The wicked go down to the realm of the dead, all the nations that forget God. But God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. Arise, Lord. Do not let mortals triumph. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Strike them with terror, Lord. Let the nations know they are only mortal. Proverbs 19, 4 and 5. Wealth attracts many friends, but even the closest friend of the poor person deserts them. A false witness will not go unpunished, and whoever pours out lies will not go free. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this new beginning, this brand new week that we are walking into, and this brand new territory in the New Testament, the letter to the Romans, that has so much packed into it. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us clarity and wisdom. We seek wisdom as we navigate this life. We seek transformation, and that requires our participation. That requires our paying attention. Help us with this. Lead us into the truth. Lead us into Jesus. Lead us on the narrow path that leads to life. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is Mom of 12 from Saskatchewan, Canada. You gave me a word, restoration, at the beginning of the year. Our prodigal son started to slowly return into our lives. Then my husband got cancer, and I asked how this is restoring us. But I see our relationship with God is stronger. My husband's blood work shows he is responding to treatment. Our two other sons return to live at home while they consider plans to move forward. I see you working and restoring this family in ways I didn't expect. It looks different, but it is restoration. My prayer is to thank you for our circumstances, and I ask for your hand of restoration on us to continue. Also, thank you for the Dab family who prayed peace over us. We have it. We have joy, love, and we trust you as you work in us and continue in your healing and your grace. And thank you, Brian and family, for the prayers and encouragement. And just know that I'm praying for all of you Dabbers out there too, Lord. Just be with them, Lord, especially the ones that are struggling with family and sickness and illness and cancer. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Saved by Grace from California. Thanking God and praising God for this day. I don't know what you may be going through today, but I can tell you that God is there with you, that you are not alone. Acknowledge Him in your circumstance. Praise Him and thank Him for your circumstance. Thank Him that He disciplines and corrects those children He loves. We are the children of God, and He is our Father. He protects us, He keeps us, so that His will be done. We are here for His purpose and His purpose alone. And we praise Him and thank Him. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that is listening. I ask for a special blessing to be upon them on this day. And God, show yourself present in all circumstances, in all concerns, all issues. Thank you, Father, for being our God. And thank you for choosing us to be your children. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, amen.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. My name is Christine. I live north of Seattle, Washington. I'm retired. And for the first time in my life, I don't have any really fellowship with any Christians. I feel very isolated. Even my church, they have groups, but the women's group are kind of like for grief and stuff like that. And I'm looking for a wonderful, like a men's and women's Bible study here so that I could join. I'm experiencing the hardest, loneliest time in my life. And I don't, and I've never experienced this before. I was always blessed with wonderful family, wonderful friends at work, you know. But now that I'm retired, there is no, those friends don't follow you. They're married and I'm not married. I'm divorced. And I when I head home to my apartment, it's like I'm experiencing fear. For the first time in my life, I don't want to be at this apartment. I've been asking the Lord, please show me where to move. Should I move towards one of my daughters? One daughter has, her husband is from a Muslim family. I can't live there. The other daughter is already living with her mother-in-law. And my other one lives in Eastern Washington. And nobody seems worried. Nobody, I don't get phone calls, rarely. They say, hi, Mom, what are you doing? You okay? Do you need anything? Why don't you come spend the night? I used to get invites from my younger daughter to spend the night, but now that her husband's home, I don't get it a lot. And I'm scared for the first time. I guess it's lonely, and I just need the Lord to show me where should I leave? Where should I move? Please pray for me.
This is Susie from Colorado. I wanted to call in this morning and pray for Michelle. Michelle is has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and this is a woman that the entire community that I live in knows, and I can't think of one single person around here who hasn't picked up the phone and called her or run to her house when they need prayer. And now it's time that all of us are praying for her. I mean, my phone rang off the hook yesterday of people calling to tell me to pray for Michelle. So the first thing I thought of is to call you guys at the Daily Audio, because I know you'll pray that she'll be healed and that this wouldn't even be a real diagnosis, and that she would be just a testimony of what God can do. So thank you.
Hello, please pray for my husband, John. This is Debbie calling from Canada. He's just keeps going through job after job since we've sold our business up north. And it's just getting a bit too crazy. Anyways, if you could just pray for stability with him and discernment, way he behaves with his work. And also for my son, Patrick, who is not very stable emotionally and with friends and needs to find the Lord. And he recently broke up with his girlfriend, and then he came home to share all these deep things with us, and now he says we can't relate to him, and so he keeps writing people off, and then he hasn't got anybody left, and he just really needs to learn how to interact with people. So, yeah, it just seems like a lot of spiritual warfare is a bit off the charts here. And also, could you please pray that my sister and her husband, Roy, would sell their house? They want to move here, and just no offers, and they would really appreciate extra prayer for this matter. Anyways, thank you very much. Bye now.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, I come to you today from Portland, Oregon. I want to pray and ask you to pray with me for our brother who boldly and courageously asked for support after finding out he has narcissistic personality disorder affected his life and relationships drastically. He's asked for reconciliation to his family and for healing of his mental health. And so let us pray for him, and not just him, but for all men on earth today, because they are the target of the enemy, especially to break up families and communities. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, you are mighty and strong. You are sovereign and good. We declare your name above all names, and we ask that your will would be done in all of earth today and all circumstances as it's done in heaven. Father God, we praise you and we love you and we trust you. We lift up our brother who has asked for prayer, and we lift up all other men who are dealing with narcissistic personality disorder, who are dealing with broken marriages, broken relationships, who are dealing with broken identities and confusion, who are dealing with isolation and fear, who believe that they are not worthy of your love, who believe that they are not capable. Lord, we lift them up to you and we pray for healing and restoration of their mind. We pray for reconciliation of their mind and body and spirit to you. We pray for a right relationship to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, so that healing can begin. We pray that they will seek you first, seek your kingdom first, and they will believe that they are loved by you. When they truly believe that, then we pray that they will step into their identity in Christ so that you can break off the lies of Satan in their life. And we pray all this in the name of our King Jesus Christ. Amen.